Before Stephen's lesson, the scripture reading is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 7. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things.
Good morning, everyone. Good to have you here this morning, and I'd like to thank the elders here for giving me the opportunity to come speak to you again this week. As you probably know already, the theme for the lesson this week is going to be talking about facing the future with faith, and in the strictest sense of the word, faith is a matter of trust. And what we are talking about is trusting in God and His Word. And as we look to the future of ourselves and the congregation here, trusting that God's way is the right way and the best way, and that we should be preparing ourselves to be as pleasing to Him as we possibly can do. And I want to talk about things this week that will help us to fulfill our responsibilities to the Lord in preparing ourselves and preparing one another. And this morning I want to talk about the reality of the need for us to pass on the things that we are doing and learning and believe and teach and practice to the next generation. And for today's lessons, I've entitled it lesson entitled it Passing the Torch. And the reality of the need for us to make sure that there's a next generation. I know when we think about the Olympics, that's usually what I think of when I think about passing the torch. And the Olympic torch is something that was reintroduced, I guess I should say, in 1928 as a sort of reintroduction of the flame in the Olympic Games. In the early years of the Olympic competition, the flame was continually burning during the Games, and a single runner brought it to the site as a symbolic representation of stealing fire from the Greek god Prometheus. And it was only in modern times that the carrying of the flame was passed from one runner to the next. But I believe the symbolism of that tradition is something that is very strong in our society today. Passing the torch is an illustration that I think we understand. It means that we're passing on something to somebody else to take over leadership or to take our place. And the phrase has been used to describe the next generation of actors and actresses, or the next generation of athletes, a new chief executive officer at some corporation, or, as you well know, the political leadership. Is you're getting advertisements as much as I am. You know that there's an election going on here in just a few days. Actually, it's a couple of days. We're going to have to pass on the torch to some new leadership. And I think we all understand the need for passing the torch on to the next generation by the simple fact that we are losing a generation. Just the realities of life we're going to talk about here in just a few minutes, the realities of life tell us that there is a need for passing on the torch. Where I'm at in Glendale, Arizona, I've been there for 10 years. In the 10 years that I've been there, we've lost, well, let's put this, let me back up a little bit. The first day that I was there, we had 86 members. We've lost 20 of those 86 due to death in 10 years. Now, you add that up in your mathematics there and take a percentage-wise, you see that that's a good portion of our number at that congregation that we've lost just to death. The realities of life we're going to talk about here in just a minute. And so by the simple fact that none of us lives forever tells us that we must not only pass the torch to the next generation, but have somebody to pass it to. We can't pass it on if there's nobody there. It's an idea that we should grasp in spiritual matters, too, for this fact and the fact that the things that we are doing still need to be done after we pass from this life. And that fact demands that there needs to be somebody that we can pass that torch onto, and the responsibilities that we now have as this generation. But the question we need to ask then is, who's going to be that next generation? Who is going to be the one to whom we're going to pass that torch? Today I want us to consider, again, the need for us passing the torch to the next generation. In the lessons all this week, we're going to be considering some specific things that we need to be doing as a congregation, as individual, and as individual members and disciples of Jesus Christ, that we need to be doing to ensure that this is going to be done. But I want us to consider for today the very basic requirement that it be done. Some examples in the Bible of when it was done and who needs to be doing it and what will happen if we do not. So let's, for today, consider the need for passing the torch so that we can truly face the future with faith. First thing we need to consider here is the realities of life. And the first reality is that age slows us all down. And I don't have to tell probably anybody here this morning that age slows us down over time. What I used to do and be able to do when I was 18 or 25 or 30 or even 40, I can't do that anymore. I'm finding out. You know, ask Chris. Last night I laid out all my moaning and groaning that I've had to put up with here in just the last couple of years because my body doesn't do what it used to do 10 years ago. I'm falling apart. My joints are all aching now. In the last year or so, I've had to sit up on the couch to sleep at night because my shoulders were giving me trouble. It's just the reality of life that we get old and things don't work like they used to. If you would turn your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes in the 12th chapter, we see the wise writer here giving a very figurative picture and a very descriptive picture of the decay of the physical body. And listen to his words here and see if you can figure out what he's saying, because what he is talking about here is the decay of the physical body. And listen to the way that he puts it. Verse 1 beginning. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened and the clouds do not return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few and those that look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low and one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of music are brought low. Also they are afraid of height and of the terrors in the way when the almond tree blossoms. The grasshopper is a burden and desire fails. For a man goes to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed or the golden bowl is broken or the pitcher shattered at the fountain or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was and the spirit will return to God who gave it. We look at these words and we see him talk about again the decay of the physical body where the hands tremble and the back bends down. Our hair, I've got plenty of almond blossoms, you probably have noticed, on the old hair up here. And we can't remember things like we used to remember them. Is it wise to act, spiritually speaking, as a congregation? Is it wise to act as if these things don't happen? Like we're going to be here forever? What work is going to be done and how effective are we going to do it if we act as if we who we were 20 years ago? Like we can do this and we can do this forever. We need to face the reality that we're not going to be here forever. We need to be thinking about our younger folks and handing over the responsibilities to them and the work so that they might even do it more effectively than us. And I think that's partly pride that comes in that we don't want to admit that. And sometimes the young folks can do things better than we can because we're just physically not able to do it anymore. Our strength fails as we get older. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 71 and verse 9, as he pleads with God, do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. Now he's tying the two together there, saying it's one and the same. Old age is when our strength fails. He knew and understood that with old age came a weakened condition. Do we realize that too? Are we still acting according like we are able to do what we did 20 years ago? Or do we look to those who are younger and more able to do some of the physical tasks that need to be done? Are we passing on the torch of responsibilities to those who are younger so that they may gain experience for later when they do lead? Another thing that is the reality of life is sometimes we get accustomed to things to the point that we really don't see things as they really are. It's not just old age. It's just getting accustomed to things. Think about Nehemiah and the walls of Jerusalem. After the Israelites had been taken into captivity, as God said they would because of their unfaithfulness, they were allowed to return to the land after the 70 years of captivity in the rest of the land. And it began with the return of the 42,600 that were with Zerubbabel in the year 538 that we read about in Ezra chapter 1 and again chapter 2 and verse 64, where the number is given. The temple foundation was laid a couple of years later, but the temple itself was not completed due to resistance from those outside. I believe it lay there for about 16 years before it was finally finished. And then this return was followed by the return of Ezra and about 3,000 more Jews about 80 years later that we read about in Ezra chapter 7 and chapter 7 and 8. And then the return of Nehemiah 13 years after that in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 1. And all this time, those walls were broken down. Did anybody not see that? It wasn't until the report came to Nehemiah here, Nehemiah chapter 2, or actually chapter 1, that he even thought about doing something about it. We don't read about anybody looking at those walls and saying, hey, the walls of Jerusalem are knocked down. We need to rebuild that. After all these years, why didn't anybody do that? Well, sometimes the fact is we just see things and we see them over and over and over, and we just get so accustomed to that we don't even think about doing it after a while. We see those walls, we pass by them, we step over the stones that are on the ground that should be stacked up, making this wall of protection for the city. Why didn't anybody do that? Was it too difficult? No, we read in the story of Nehemiah rebuilding of the wall that it only took 52 days once it got started. And yet, how many years it had been sitting here like this? It wasn't because it was too difficult. I believe it's probably because of the simple fact of just being there and them seeing it day after day after day after day and nobody doing anything about it until it came to be another generation arose that's all they had ever seen was a wall crumbled and falling down, and so they just got used to it. And nobody ever did anything about it. That's why we need to consider this next generation. The realities of life is that sometimes we don't see the need for us to pass this on to somebody else, and one of our young folks comes up to us and says, look, we need to start doing these things because we're not thinking about that. But yet they are. They see the true condition. We need to sometimes listen to those who have a different view. Somebody who maybe comes in from the outside and looks at the congregation and say, look, you need to do this. You need to get some more of your young folks involved. You need some young folks here to pass this on to. You need to be teaching them some things that they need so that they can take over as leadership. Sometimes we fail to look at our true condition as it really is. And so we need to realize this and do something about it. Think about the rebukes of Nehemiah as we read about in chapter 13 of the book of Nehemiah, verses 4 through 13, when he comes back after being away for a time and he sees the failure of the people to set aside a portion for the Levites. They had allowed some of their own enemies to reside in the courtyard of the temple. And we look at this and we say, was there no one there that understood that this was not what God wanted them to do? Here Nehemiah comes back and it appears that almost immediately he looks at what's going on and he starts making the changes. He starts making the rebukes. Why didn't anybody else see that? Well, sometimes we just get accustomed to the way things are. It shouldn't take someone else to tell us what we need to do, but it might be a good idea sometimes to consider somebody else to come in and say, what do we need to do here? I don't know if that's why I'm here this week, but hopefully I can give you a view from the outside and look at the congregation. And if I see something that needs to be done, hopefully I will be able to point that out. And hopefully we will listen if it is truly something God wants us to do. Sometimes we just need somebody else to point out what should be obvious so that we can get it done. We also need to consider the fact that everyone and everything is passing from this life. None of us, again, is going to live forever. And we can't just keep saying, you know, I can still do it. As I've already said here, I'm finding out every day that I can't do what I used to do even 10 years ago. I like to wake up some mornings and think I'm still 25, and then I go try to play racquetball, and my knees are telling me, no, you can't. I just can't do things like I used to. Generations pass away. That's just a fact of life. As again, the wise writer said in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 4, one generation passes away and another generation comes. That's just the reality of life. We aren't going to live forever. And so we need to realize that we're not going to be here forever, and we need to be passing on the torch to the next generation so that they will be prepared when we and our generation passes from this life. And do we need to say that this needs to be done while we're still alive? We can't wait until the last day on earth to say, okay, there's a bunch of things I need to tell you. There's a bunch of things I need to show you. We need to be showing and teaching and demonstrating to our young folks right now what they need to be doing. What God wants them to do. Show them from God's Word. Show them by the way we are living. Show them by our example what they need to be doing while we're still here. The reality is all men die. The passing that we're talking about is not, like we mentioned earlier, this passing the torch, a new CEO stepping in or a new quarterback. The replacement that we're talking about is necessary because we are not going to be here forever. We're going to die. The writer of Hebrews asked in chapter 9, verse 27, as he asked this question, is appointed for men to die once? And he used this example of Christ dying once for all as the fact that man is going to die once and after that the judgment. The psalmist asked in Psalm 89, verse 48, what man can live and not see death? Well, that's a rhetorical question. It answers itself. No man escapes this certainty. And with this being true, shouldn't we be preparing then for the next generation to do what we are doing right now? Shouldn't we be passing the torch and giving them the information, as we talked about in the earlier lesson, equipping them for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ? Shouldn't we be giving that to them? Well, of course we should. We see in the Bible some examples of ones who passed the torch, as we're talking about this morning. We see the example of Moses and Joshua in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 1 through 13, just before the Israelites enter into the land of Canaan, Moses is speaking to Israel and to Joshua, and he said, I am 120 years old today. I can no longer go out and come in. That statement by itself speaks of the need for passing the torch. But he goes on in telling Joshua in the sight of the congregation, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give to them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. The emphasis there is on you. Not to say that he would do it in and of himself without God's help, but that Moses would not be there. He's saying to Joshua, by saying, you are going to do this, he is saying, I'm not. You are the next generation. Parents, are you speaking to your kids in that way? With the spiritual emphasis to them that you're not going to be here and they need to take over at some point? That they need to be the next generation of disciples that are doing the work of the Lord? We see an example of David and Solomon, 1 Chronicles, the 22nd chapter, and again in chapter 28, verse 9. And in the context, we see David nearing the end of his reign as king and is preparing Solomon for the office. And first David tells him, now my son, may the Lord be with you, and may you prosper and build the house of the Lord your God as He has said to you. Only may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding and give you charge concerning Israel that you keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will prosper if you take care to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. And then he says later in chapter 28, verses 8 and 9, now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord and in the hearing of our God, be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God that you may possess this good land and leave it as an inheritance for your children after you forever. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God your father and serve Him with a loyal heart, with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intents of the thoughts. If you seek Him, He will be found by you, but if you forsake Him, He will cast you off forever. And in those words right there, we see a very clear picture of one passing the torch to his son. who would be king after he steps down. These words are ones of instruction and direction, exhorting him to walk in the ways of the God that he might prosper and find success. That's the same conversations we need to be having with our children and our young folks. Not just parents, but especially parents, but all the members of this congregation need to be speaking to the next generation of disciples in this way. We see the example of Elijah and Elisha in 1 Kings chapter 19, again in 2 Kings chapter 2. In 1 Kings 19, not long after Elijah's victory through God at Mount Carmel, he is told to anoint Elisha as a prophet who would take his place in verse 16. And then he does so, as is recorded there in verses 19 through 21. Later we read about Elijah being taken up in the whirlwind and his mantle being taken up by Elisha. Now there is an analogy we all understand. Taking up the mantle. That's become a phrase in our language today. Taking up the mantle. That means you're taking over for someone else. That's passing the torch. Another analogy in our great, beautiful English language. Taking up the mantle. We understand what that means. We see the example of Paul and Timothy. The passage was read just a few minutes ago in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. I want to look at that just for a little bit more than the other passages for just a minute, because I want us to notice what we can see in this passage here in the context of what we're talking about this morning, passing on the torch to the next generation. Listen to what Paul says here in verse 2. Now, keep in mind, this is the Apostle Paul writing to this young evangelist Timothy, and here's what he says. The things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. What I want us to see there is this. Listen to what is said here. The things that you have heard from me, me being Paul, speaking to Timothy, teach these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Four generations of passing the torch right there in that one verse. Now let's back up. What if Paul didn't pass that on to Timothy? What if at that first generation there, Paul just decided, you know, I've done my job. Now it's somebody else's job. They're just going to have to figure it out on their own. There's three generations lost of instruction and direction and example if he had not done that. Why do we need to pass on the torch to others? Because there are going to be others after them and others after them and others after them. That's why we need to pass on the torch to the next generation. That's why we need to be thinking about right now what we are doing to prepare the next generation for doing the work that God wants them to do. In chapter 1, in verse 13, he reminds Timothy, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me. Again, there's this passing on in faith and in love which are in Christ Jesus. He's talking about the very nature of passing on this information and the fact that Paul had passed that on to him. In chapter 4, beginning verse 2, his admonition to Timothy is strong here. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, fulfill your ministry. Why? Verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, but not to me only, but also to those who have loved his appearing. Paul is speaking this to Timothy. This is the last thing that we have record of Paul writing. He's near the end of his life. And what do we tend to do when we're near the end of our life? We call together our loved ones and say, look, I've got something I have to tell you. And Paul, what is he saying to Timothy? You teach the word, because I'm about to die. You need to be the one. Friends and brethren, that's what we need to be passing on to our next generation of disciples, to our children. We need to be encouraging them, exhorting them to do exactly what Paul encouraged Timothy to do. You preach the word, because I'm not going to be here forever. Well, who is it that must do this? Who has to pass on the torch, and who are we going to pass it to? Well, the first group I want us to consider this morning is that of the parents. And trust me, as I'm talking about this section, I'm talking to myself primarily because I'm a parent. I've got four kids. And if you're a parent, that means you got children, right? I think that's what being a parent means. You got children. So right there, you got built-in next generation if you do what God wants you to. Under the old law, in Deuteronomy the 6th chapter, verses 6 through 9, the charge regarding the words of God was that they teach them diligently to your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign in your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Do you see what God wants parents to do? You be talking about God's Word all the time with your kids. When you wake up in the morning, you sit down to eat. When you lay down at night, you be talking about God's Word all the time to your children. And it doesn't go away in the New Testament. Fathers especially, in Ephesians the 6th chapter and verse 4, admonish to teach your children. Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Friends and brethren, that's passing the torch. That's passing on God's Word to the next generation, beginning at home. Friends and brethren, I'm going to tell you this. If it doesn't start at home, it's not going to probably start anywhere. If you leave your children to the world, they will learn the ways of the world. And please don't bring them to Bible class for somebody else to do it for you. Fathers, you have been given the charge by God to do that. It is your responsibility. I take it seriously. Because I'm going to have to answer to God someday for my children. Did I do that? If I didn't, I'm going to have to answer for it. I have been given that responsibility by God to my children to bring them up in the ways of the Lord. I can't hand that off to anybody else. And I'm not going to. I urge you fathers to do the same. Again, the elders have a responsibility. We might think about the elders as ones who must take part in this, and I believe we would be right. Paul warns them in Acts the 20th chapter as he spoke to the Ephesian elders in Miletus as he was headed back toward Jerusalem. And he warned them, commanding them to take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, because he said, after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Elders who have served must warn those who are the newly appointed ones of these same dangers. Can you imagine elders who have gone through any amount of trouble at all when a new elder is appointed, not telling them what to expect? Those who are the older elders, if that's proper, need to tell the new ones as they are coming in to begin their position of serving the Lord in that way what they need to expect. And not just say, oh, I guess they'll learn on the job. Well, they will one way or the other. But it's sure good to be prepared for what comes. Preachers, evangelists. So we saw in Paul's charge to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. And again in chapter 4 and verse 2. They have a need to preach the Word and to pass it on to the next generation. And specifically in chapter 4 and verse 2, the need was there because there would come a time, as he said, when they wouldn't want to hear those words. But Paul said to this young evangelist, Timothy, you preach the Word in season and out of season. And as one older preacher told me a long time ago, that means when they want to hear it and when they don't want to hear it. You need to preach the truth all the time. Teachers. Again, Paul's charge to Timothy was to teach these things to other faithful men who will be able to teach others also. In this, four generations of teaching. Three generations of torch passing, if you will. Paul to Timothy. Timothy to these faithful men. These faithful men to others. It is absolutely necessary. But friends and brethren, all disciples have the responsibility of passing the torch to the next generation. Peter admonishes us in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That's all of us. We must always be ready to pass on the knowledge of God's Word. Why are we following the faith of Jesus Christ? We need to be ready to answer that. Pass on that knowledge to somebody else, because it may be. There are still people out there, believe it or not, who ask you about your faith who really want to know because they're interested. It may be that somebody asks you one day, why do you believe what you believe? Because they really want to know. And it may be that when you answer, they become believers. There's our next generation. We must always be ready to pass on this knowledge and the hope that is within us, defending the faith, defending our faith. So what happens if we don't do this? What happens when we don't pass on the torch to the next generation? Does it really matter? Maybe somebody here this morning says, well, what's the big deal? If I don't do it, there's all these other people to do it. Well, if everybody thought that way, then the next generation would not know the ways of God. Look back to the history of the Israelites in Judges chapter 2 and verse 10. Now remember what we just read. Deuteronomy chapter 6, what they were supposed to do. They were basically supposed to be talking about God's Word from morning till evening. When they're walking in the way, you write it on your doorpost. You have it as a front list before your eyes. Basically, you should surround yourself with God's Word. And in the context, he was talking about, you do this to your children. But yet, what do we read about in Judges chapter 2 and verse 10? There rose a generation that did not know God. How did that happen? Friends and brethren, it happened because parents didn't do what they were supposed to do. They didn't pass on God's Word. They didn't talk to their children like they were commanded to do. And so a generation came up that did not take up the torch because their parents didn't hand it to them. They weren't given the Word of God. Friends and brethren, the same thing is going to happen to our children if we do not pass on the torch as we should. And their ignorance will lead to their spiritual destruction. As we know the history of the Israelites, their ignorance of God's Word led to their destruction. In Jeremiah the 4th chapter and verse 22, God speaks through Jeremiah and says this about His people. Now this is some pretty strong language here. My people are foolish. They know me not. They are stupid children. They have no understanding. They are wise in doing evil, but how to do good they know not. How did they get there? It's because they weren't instructed in the ways of God. They then became ignorant of God. And to me, one of the saddest passages in the entire Bible is Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, where God had to say about His own people, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." Now, how did they get there? Well, He answers, because you've rejected knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. You didn't do what you were supposed to do. That's how you got there. That's how you got into captivity. My own people, God says, are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Now, how would you like to have that said about this church? Right now, I'd look out over this audience. See a lot of people who are interested in God's Word this morning, who are interested in pleasing God and wanting to know more about His ways. But what about 50 years from now? What will be said about this congregation? What if 50 years from now, someone said about this church, oh, that church was destroyed for a lack of knowledge? What a sad statement that would be if that was true of this congregation or any congregation of God's people. But you know what? It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be said about this congregation if we all do what we're supposed to do in passing on the torch to the next generation. Their ignorance of God's Word is what led them astray. And it will lead our children astray just as surely. It will allow them to be led astray or to drift away. We look at the churches of Asia in Revelation 2 and 3, we find that some had begun drifting away from the solid foundation and were no longer pleasing to the Lord. We read in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4 that Ephesus had left their first love. In chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, those in Pergamos had endured much persecution, but had tolerated false teachers amongst them. In Revelation chapter 3, 15 through 17, the Laodicean church had become lukewarm in their service, and they didn't realize their true condition. Friends and brethren, we too can fall into complacency and think because maybe this church was strong 10 years ago, it'll be strong today, or is strong today, and will be in the future, just because, well, that's what it used to be. I can tell you, I've been in congregation before. I've been in buildings before where I was told by some of the members, oh, you should have seen us back in 1954. We had 200 members in here in an auditorium about half this size. We had to bring in chairs so that everybody could sit down. And I looked over the audience and see that there was probably about 20 people in there. And all I could think of was, okay, that was 1954. Why aren't we that way today? What happened? And it was because parents didn't pass the torch to the next generation. And they didn't pass it on to their friends and family members so that those out in the world could come out of the world and be a part of that congregation. Friends and brethren, if we don't pass on the torch to somebody else, that's what's going to be said about this congregation. They are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And what a sad, sad statement that will be. As was mentioned at the beginning of the lesson here, the torch is one of the most recognizable symbols of the Olympic Games, only behind the five rings. The pre-game tradition of the run, where the torch is passed on from one to another, is well known by everybody in this world. But the fact of passing the torch and these other things is sometimes clearly evident too. We just need to recognize the torch that we need to be passing on to the next generation of young men and women, to the future leaders of this church. Because friends and brethren, if we do not, we will not be a church much longer. When Jesus spoke to the seven churches of Asia, to those who were not what they should have been, He told them, you do what you need to do quickly or else I will come and remove the lampstand. The Lord is certainly patient and long-suffering and wants us to be right. But there's going to come a time when the Lord says enough and our lampstand will be removed if we are not willing to do what we need to be doing. I exhort all of you here this morning, if you're a member of this congregation, to do your part in the Lord's work so that there is a next generation, so that the truth will continue to be preached in this area and in many other places. But it's all up to each one of us to do our part as members of this congregation. This lesson is not one that would teach you what to do to become a child of God, but if you have heard God's Word at some point, and you have come to believe and know what you need to do to become a child of God, we urge you to do that this morning while you have the opportunity. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, have you acted on that belief? Jesus Himself said, as He sent the disciples out to teach the gospel, the very next thing He said was, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Have you done that? It is in that act of baptism that we're told in Colossians chapter 2, 11 through 13, that God does the work of raising you up in Christ and washing away your sins. Don't let somebody tell you, baptism's a work and we're not saved by work salvation. Friends and brethren, we're saved by the grace and mercy of God when we do what He tells us we need to do for that forgiveness. And Jesus Himself said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. You believe what Jesus said there? If you've not been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, I plead with you to do so today so that you can be a child of God. You can have the hope of eternal life in heaven. Maybe there's somebody here this morning that's obeyed the gospel in the past but has not been living faithfully before God. And if you realize that and you realize you need to make things right, do that now while you have the opportunity. Maybe there's somebody here that just needs the prayers of this congregation for help in some way. But whatever your need, will you come to the stand and sing?